Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
If you can find the time to explore the mind of a stripper,
then you can find the time to spend with your actual family.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk.
Damn! What they on? All steroids and no carbs? They're the thick-ass kids.
This is Prime Time.
We're not like you. We're grown-ups.
Your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports.
Oh, my goodness.
Here are Isaac Ropp and Jason Sakanik with Prime Time on 1080 The Fan.
There is no official what to do. There is no official ahoy, but there is a...
Hello.
As I am here, sitting in the producer chair, hosting the show today, along with... Thursday's very own Andrew Nemec. Hello, sir.
Hey, man. How you doing?
I'm doing very well. I keep looking at Twitter today. I wrote my update.
Yes.
And I just went and updated
it
quickly.
Erase it.
Well, yeah.
Every 5 minutes.
I already deleted a paragraph and re-put a paragraph in. I printed it out because we're still old school and use paper here. Or at least I do for my updates. And then I looked at Twitter and another NBA trade has happened. Another MLB trade has happened. And it's just nonstop. It's just one of those days where it's like, what is happening?
Yeah, when I come in to co-host, I try to come up with 4, 5, 6 topics just in case. I mean, usually whoever I'm hosting with, whether it's Isaac or Souk, has a pretty good outline of what we're going to do. I just threw it away on the way in the door because just on the way in, I was like, never mind. None of this is going to matter because... of all the trade alerts that are happening across all of sports. Plus, we've got the draft today, which is really fun. I love the draft.
Yeah, so the NBA draft is going to be starting at about 5. If you want to listen to the draft and not us, you can go over to 910 ESPN Portland. That will be where it'll live live. We normally, on draft day, when Isaac and Souk are in, I will listen in one ear to the draft, and in the other ear, I'll listen to them talking, and then I will alert them that a pick is coming, and they will play the first 10 or so picks, at least the picks that are still intriguing. You know, in the NFL draft, that tends to be most of the first round. In the NBA draft, that's the lottery. And sometimes it's even less than the lottery. The problem is that I'm hosting the show today from this chair, which means I can't really be listening to something else in one ear while I'm trying to talk and do a show. So I'm going to try my best today to play the first 10 picks live as they happen. But there are no guarantees that I will get every single pick in because it's just me in here doing all of it.
Yeah, I'm going to do my best to talk through it for you during the show with different picks. And it is exciting. It is an exciting draft, especially the top 4 or 5 picks are pretty interesting. And then I think you get kind of a cluster of guys who could help a team immediately, but don't have the highest ceiling. Chris Duarte probably belongs in that category. I follow this draft pretty closely, so I feel like we'll be able to break that all down. But
I'm going to lean on you heavily for the player breakdowns.
You told
me yesterday that you were reading some stuff and you were looking at tape, and I was like, well, I'm just going to say, and the first pick is Cade Cunningham, and I'm just going to lay out.
It's becoming a tradition now because I hosted for the NFL draft
that
as well.
Did.
So I've become the like draft guy at 1080, which I guess kind of fits with recruiting in some way because it's kind of the analysis side of things.
Well, but, you are somebody who very much enjoys scouting.
It's true.
I would say based on our conversations, what you truly enjoy is just like watching tape and like analyzing the players and like coming up with your own opinions on them, right?
Yeah, that I mean, if I could do anything, I think, but not work the hours of like a recruiting assistant for a program, I would like to do that. Just watch film and go to camps and evaluate talent and
but not be on call 24 hours a day.
Yeah, I mean, like a couple days ago I wasn't feeling well. I've been sick for like a week. That's why I wasn't here for last week's show. The week before I was at a wedding.
Not COVID.
not COVID, but I got really sick and was sick for a week. Our whole house was sick, but I couldn't do anything. I couldn't go anywhere, but because I was still contagious, but I felt okay. So I did some house cleaning, and I also watched film and hit up a bunch of college coaches with different film. And like, I think this guy fits for you guys. I think this guy fits for you guys. And one of the kids that I sent to a school got a scholarship offer from that school.
Fantastic.
Yesterday.
That's gonna be super rewarding.
I was pretty excited. That's the stuff that's the most fun. I know people think like the recruiting stuff, like bashing Oregon State is actually what I like to do, which is not true. And they're doing a lot better. In fact, they're going to get a commitment any minute here.
So you're also going to be doing two jobs at once.
Yeah, I've got a story up for their newest commitment. And we can talk about that a little later. But they are going to get a commitment any second here. Oregon's hosting a major camp this week, and Oregon State's hosting major camp. I like that stuff. But I think my actual favorite thing to do is the scouting part and then the connecting local kids who are maybe under the radar with schools and it leading to scholarships. And it doesn't happen very often, especially with as many camps as these kids go to. They get seen, but every once in a while, probably twice a year, there's a kid who I'll send to a school and the college is like, hey, we didn't know about this kid, and they'll offer him. And then I have a relationship with that kid usually for a few years after, where we talk about it and everything. And it's, that part's really rewarding.
What's your personal claim to fame for that? Like, is there a kid that you were like,
I mean, Justin Herbert.
Yeah.
I said Justin Herbert would play in the NFL when he was a no-star prospect and no offers or anything. And I swore up and down and did message Oregon like, hey, Justin Herbert's in your backyard. Give him a look. They didn't for a long time. It wasn't because of me. But by the time they offered, it was pretty obvious that he was, you know, going to be pretty good. What's funny is what actually led to Justin Herbert getting attention was that Washington liked him. Washington kind of tried to sneak him, kind of backdoor him into their program. He went on a visit to Washington, and Oregon kind of found out about it. And then it was like, because Justin Herbert wasn't on Twitter. I don't think he's on Twitter still.
Yeah.
He's not a big social media guy, so he doesn't post his visits and anything. And he's pretty quiet. So he visited Washington, and Oregon was like, wait a minute, if Washington likes this kid, we should give him a look. And then they did and went, oh, oops, and offered him, and it worked out. So Justin Herbert, probably. I've also had some guys that were really highly rated that I just thought were going to be terrible, both in basketball and football. And I take some pride in that, even though I feel really bad for the kid, you know, because you don't want the kid to be bad.
But in terms of chops as an analyst.
I loved Anthony Adams. Anthony Adams is rated the number one FCS corner DB in the country. I thought he should have had a Pac-12 offer. He ended up going to Portland State. He went to a camp at Redmond. And for my vacation, I went to two-a-days for Redmond High School football and just went to every practice and just was part of that. And Newberg camped there. And my cousin was coaching for Redmond. And I was like, that kid right there is pretty good. And he's like, nah. And he started talking crap to him. He's an adult. And I was like, I don't know if that's great. First play was a pick six from Anthony Adams. And he never did really get an offer. Portland State offered him really late. And he's been up for like defensive player of the year in the FCS. He'll end up getting drafted. That was a kid I was all over that just never, it never worked. No Mountain West school, no Pac-12 school. And he should have, because he might be the best defensive player in the country at the FCS level.
We also do have recruiting with Andrew Nemec coming on after us. So the two of us will be on for five straight hours together. And we will talk about on the show the breaking Oregon State commitment whenever it does come through.
Well, the other thing we're going to do, I think, as is tradition, before my Thursday show, Isaac and Suk try to have, they have the club hour. They try to make at least one segment wildly sexual so that it's very uncomfortable leading into recruiting with Andrew Nemec, which is mostly geared towards high school athletes and people who follow high school
sports.
And
parents of high school athletes.
So it's wildly inappropriate. It is not the lead-in that I would approve of, although I'll take anything from Isaac and Suk because they're great. But it sounds like you might try to keep that tradition alive.
We'll see.
Okay.
They don't actually intentionally do anything.
Oh, they intentionally do it.
No, they don't.
Oh, yes, they do.
No.
Every once in a while, they do.
Well, no, it's more like a topic gets brought up, and it's like, oh, do you remember Nemec's on today? Oh, that's right. Great lead-in for Andrew Nemec.
Let's save it. Yeah.
But
so
it's
it is somewhat intentional.
Yeah, sometimes. I was joking with you on Twitter yesterday when I said I already pulled some stuff up. But, you know, we'll see what happens. We'll see what comes down the chute as the show
you
goes
never know.
On for
I
the
got,
club.
I got some real criticism from some Oregon State fans for saying that there would be some sort of sexual lead in to recruiting with Andrew Nemec because
you did.
Yeah, they were like, how unprofessional of this journalist. And I was like, do you guys listen to Isaac and Sue? Because like it's like a running 1080 gag that that they talk about sexual stuff right before my show. So we might have to do that. I don't have anything. So I am reliant on you to
My lead in. I got some stuff, but none of it was overtly disgusting, at least that I had so far for the club.
Are you a draft guy? Like an NBA draft guy?
Not particularly, no.
Are you an MLB draft guy?
No, not at all. Okay. MLB draft is long and hard to follow.
Speaking of sexual lead-ins.
Yes. The NFL draft is my favorite draft to follow, just because I watch college football and I know about those players the most. In college basketball, I mean, at the top of the draft today, we're going to get to it. Yeah, I watch Cade Cunningham, but there's two guys in the top five projected who played in the G League. Like, I don't know who those two guys are.
Those guys played 13 games. I don't know if they were televised, maybe on NBA TV or something. And the games were a nightmare because they couldn't get them organized and COVID. And they said that was basically a flushed year for Kuminga and Green because they didn't get to practice. They didn't really get to play. And so it's like it just kind of stalled them out for a year.
Yeah, but I mean, if there's like a bunch of great players, obviously I'll follow. And I know the top college guys because I saw them play, like Cade Cunningham and Evan Mobley and obviously Suggs from Gonzaga. And those are guys that I watch play. So I do get into it. But once the top 10 is done, or at least unless the Blazers are picking, I'm half interested.
Okay. I like to go back because I go to the Hoop Summit every year. So I have hot takes on all the top prospects, and then I like to see if I was right or wrong. Sometimes I'm wrong. Often I'm wrong when it comes to basketball. Is hard, man. There are guys that I swear you watch them in high school, and you're like, there is no way that guy can miss, and they miss. And you're just like, how in the world, with as good as he was, did he miss? And it just floors me sometimes.
Well, we will get to all of that on the show today. Also on the docket, did you see the Damian Lillard audio and the continued Twitter beef with him and Henry Abbott from True Hoop?
Dude, Henry Abbott is getting dragged by Damian Lillard on Twitter today.
So we will talk
about that. Unbelievable.
We also have his audio from the press conference in Tokyo. We will ask some Blazer questions related to the draft, including the poll question next. MLB trade deadline is tomorrow at 1 o'clock Pacific time. There has been more moves that have been made. Lots of stuff to talk about, so we'll get to that as well. In the news, we'll react to the picks in the 5 o'clock hour, and we still got the club. So that's all coming up here on Primetime with Lynch and Nemec today. Text us 503-250-1080. That is the text line, and that's how you can interact with us. And then on Twitter, I am at MikeLynch27, and Nemec is at Andrew Nemec, straight up. So coming up next.
No, just Andrew Nemec, not straight up at the end.
Correct. Yes. And not just Andrew Nemec. Andrew Nemec.
Okay, good. Fiend.
Pause. Okay, coming up next. Would you have done the reported trade for CJ for a top four lottery pick tonight in the draft? That is next. This is Primetime on The Fan.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Primetime with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
Music means it's time for the poll question. Primetime with Lynch and Nemec today. We'll lead you through the first round of the NBA draft once 5 o'clock hits. You can find the poll question on 1080thefan.com. It is sponsored by AAA Heating and Cooling. Go to AAAIAQ.com to learn more. If the report was true, Would you rather have CJ McCollum, the number four pick in tonight's NBA draft, or fire Neil Olshey? Vote now on 1080thefan.com. Scroll about halfway down the page. It's on the right side.
Can I pick two?
No, you have to pick one.
What?
It's not multiple choice.
I want to pick two.
Well, I know you want to fire Olshey, but
okay.
What would you actually pick?
Man, I really think if you can make the contracts work, it makes sense to me to get the number four pick. I know fans who don't want that to happen are going, Dame's timeline. You're seriously going to take away his best friend on the team, or one of his best friends. I think it's safe to say his best friend on the team, who's a borderline all-star guard, and put a rookie in there who's going to be raw and take time. And I hear that. But just from a pure asset standpoint, from a cap flexibility standpoint, if you can get the number four pick and potentially flip that into something else, I think that's hugely valuable. I think it's hugely valuable. And I think it allows them to have some fluidity with this roster. And let's face it, Dame CJ has really not worked out the way that people want it to. The ceiling of it when they're both on fire is really impressive. It happens once a series. The other times, they're together, a little bit of a defensive liability, and they just aren't good enough as a 1-2 punch to be a championship contender. I think that's an easy way to get out of your cap issues, and it's an easy way to potentially get an asset that, frankly, I think most of the league would view as more valuable. I know Blazer fans think CJ for Ben Simmons, it would have been a doable deal. We're finding out that that's nowhere near the case. CJ is not considered the asset that I think Blazer fans think. And just like Blazer fans think CJ is great, the Sixers clearly think Ben Simmons great. The Wizards think Bradley Beal is great. Everybody who's considering moving a borderline all-star piece or an all-star piece, especially if they're in their 20s, thinks they're very, very valuable. And it, you just don't get to flip the guy you're kind of tired of for an all-star. That's not how it works. The other team has to agree to the trade.
We'll talk about the Sixers probably next segment or a little bit later this hour. What they're asking for Ben Simmons certainly does not match CJ McCollum. What they'll get for Ben Simmons, that we don't know yet. What they're asking for is very, very high, but we'll get to that. I'm kind of with you that I would have taken the number four pick as well. Now, after this was reported, a bunch of people on Twitter were like, there's no way that's true.
It can't be true.
That would be a very, very silly trade for Toronto, who's in the four spot, to acquire CJ when Toronto is on a different timeline than the Blazers are. You know, they could really use the number four pick to kind of reload that team to try to get them back into the playoff hunt and make them a good team in the East again. But again, even if it's not true, just for the thought exercise here, I would have also done that trade. There's a couple of reasons for it. One is, although Damian Lillard is here now, and although he has said he has not requested a trade, he also said, I haven't made up my mind what I'm going to do yet. So with that being said, you should probably be expecting the worst and hoping for the best. Expecting the worst means Dame's going to request a trade at some point, either within weeks or during the season or after the season coming up. And if that's the case, you need to get draft picks. What does Neil Olshey always say? You know, he can be wrong, but what does he always say? And he's the GM right now. The best way in a small market to be a good
team. That's proprietary, Sean?
Well, he does say that, yeah.
Isn't that what he always
says?
That's
proprietary, Sean.
Yeah.
But what he always says is you have to build through the draft. And if you're at a point in the franchise right now where the player you brought in through the draft, who's a superstar in the league and is the best player in your franchise history, is about to want to ask for a trade, you might want to go get the number four pick and go draft whoever it is who's there at four to have your next potential great player if and when Dame decides to leave. If he doesn't decide to leave, on the flip side of that, if he wants to stay, maybe watching Giannis win it in Milwaukee kind of reinvigorated him to want to stay and do it here in Portland. Maybe they're able to do something here in the next few weeks that makes Dame more excited about the team. We don't trust Neil Olshey to do that, but that is certainly a possibility that it could happen. Getting the number four pick and having it be someone who is not an undersized guard next to Dame could open up a whole world of possibilities for the team. Yes, they'll be raw. Yes, they're going to need, you know, to grow into their skills over the next few years. But assuming you sign Norman Powell, all of a sudden you've got a completely different looking team with a really young, high potential guy who maybe pops in his first year. We've seen that happen before too, especially with top five picks. So given that choice, I understand the, well, this is a different timeline. We want to win now with Dame. I think you've reached the max of what you can do with CJ. So
get the asset.
If you can get the asset, then I think that that could, if Dame stays, even be better anyway. And well, if he leaves, you're doing a reset.
A few things here. The reason, the reason Toronto's a little bit willing to shop the number four pick, and it may just be that they want to trade down a little bit and maybe get like a 7 and a 10 or an 8. I think the Magic have 5 and 8. That's probably not enough to move down one spot. But this is a to some extent a three-player top tier of this draft. You've got Cade Cunningham is going to go number one. People have thought that for a long time. And number two, you've got Jalen Green, who's a, really a lot like a Zach LaVine type. And then you've got Evan Mobley, who's like this really long athletic center. He can shoot from distance actually fairly well. He blocks shots with both hands. He's one of the best big men pick and roll defenders that's come out of into the draft in a number of years. And then at four, it does drop off. And you've got guys you could really like, but the ceiling either isn't as high or the athleticism isn't quite elite. You look at Jalen Suggs, he's a good player for the Blazers. That would be redundant, right? You don't want to necessarily get rid of CJ and then you have Jalen Suggs and Dame. Then you're in the same problem. Two undersized guards that probably together aren't an elite defensive backcourt. You got Scotty Barnes, who's a really long 6'8", 7'3" wingspan, kind of that 3-and-D guy, still developing the three part of it. Very young offensively. Everyone says he's a leader. Everyone says he's awesome, but he's probably as a person, but he's probably 2 or 3 years away from being a real contributor offensively, but he is a great defensive player. He's probably right now a little bit more like Robert Covington. And then you hope the offense catches up in the next couple of years. And then Jonathan Kuminga, who's like this really raw player who could be great or could be a total bust. So that's why the number four pick is potentially available, is when those three go off the board, you're kind of left going, okay, I could take the guy at four. And if we like that guy more than this other guy, you know, for us, it's splitting hairs. We might get the guy we want at four if we just didn't take him at nine, because four through, like, Kuminga has been talked about all the way from four. I saw a mock draft. Chad Ford was talking about him falling to like 10 potentially. So that 4 through 11 ish range is all pretty tight. That's why that pick's available. At the same time, I do think there's value in getting younger. I do think there's value in the cap flexibility of a change. I think in my dream scenario, I don't even know if this is doable, but in my dream scenario, I, the Warriors are potentially interested in another scorer at guard. You know, they've talked about, and you know, Bradley Beal a little bit. They've talked about trading and potentially getting another guard. It would be interesting to see if the the Warriors had any interest in something like a CJ for Draymond and the 10th pick. I mean, Draymond does not look great right now. I know CJ doesn't either, but I think CJ's more valuable than Draymond. I think that's fair to say.
Probably, and Draymond is like Ben Simmons is. Like, it's what you need. You need another ball handler who can create plays.
That's
a good defender, of course.
And clearly Dame likes Draymond, so you might be able to potentially sell him on, I know you lose CJ, but you want a Draymond. This is the way we're going to do this if we're going to do it. You get better defensively. And then with that 10th pick, maybe you take like a Chris Duarte. It's probably a little high for him. He's supposed to go in that like 12, 13, 14 range. But you can get a player who could potentially be another three or a two that's younger that you can develop.
That 10th spot's very dangerous for the Blazers.
I know.
That's Myers Leonard, and that's one spot ahead of Zach Collins.
I think that's more realistic than the idea that the Blazers are somehow going to get Bradley Beal or Ben Simmons. The asking price for those guys is really high. But it is. It's time to move on from the Dame CJ backcourt. It just is. You can fall in love with it, and you can say, and you're not wrong, any given night, it's fun to go to a Blazer game because we have two guards that could go off for 40 in a given night. You're right. It's a lot of fun. But it doesn't win championships, especially when one of those guys isn't a great defender. And people say, well, it's just like Steph and Klay. It's not, because Klay can guard the 1 through 4 at an above average level. And not only that, he can drop, and we've seen him drop 50 in a night where he takes 5 dribbles. CJ scores 6 points, but takes 15 dribbles. They're different players. So CJ is not Klay. CJ's nowhere near Klay. They're polar opposites practically on the defensive end, although both are skilled offensive players in different ways. It's just time to break up that backcourt because they ain't the Warriors. That's not what this is.
Well, I think that's a great segue into the next segment. All I had in my notes was the question, do you want to see the Blazers trade into the first round of the draft today? And that would be one option there if the Warriors are willing to consider that. So we'll get to that next. Text your thoughts, 503-250-1080. We did get a text that said, do you trust Neil O'Shea in the draft? to pick the right guy. So let us know, 503-250-1080. We will get to that next. First, a SportsCenter update.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week 1. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
.334 here on Primetime today. It's Mike and Nemec with you until 8 o'clock, technically. Primetime ends at 7, then we got recruiting with Andrew Nemec from 7 until 8. We will have the draft sort of for you in the 5 o'clock hour. We'll play as many picks as we can live and react to them as they happen. Sorry, my phone's blown up over here because the Yankees just made another trade. So I'm even extra distracted because they just got Anthony Rizzo.
Now, people know about your love of the Yankees, right?
Yes.
Like, listeners know how big a... Like, you watch every single game. Like, 106... Well, that's not true. Every game you can.
I watch probably about 150 games per year, yes.
Is there anything the Yankees could have given up in that trade within reason that would make you really upset?
Yeah, I hate trading top prospects for players, especially rentals, because Rizzo's going to be a free agent at the end of the year. I have no idea who they traded. It just broke in the trade for Joey Gallo yesterday. They gave up 4 prospects. None of them were in the top 10 from what I read, or maybe one of them was. So that's okay. And Joey Gallo has 2 years left in his deal. So people do know. Already 2 people texted in, all caps, Rizzo to the Yankees.
All right, Lynch. Yay, Lynch.
We will do a full trade deadline segment or two coming up a little bit later in the show because Max Scherzer looks to be getting dealt here pretty soon to the Padres.
That's interesting.
Very interesting because they already have Yu Darvish.
Yeah, the Mariners could trade. Snow. Could the Mariners somehow trade, like, I don't know, Crawford to the Astros for a bad reliever or something? I mean, that seems like DePoto's brand of tea, right?
Yeah, that sounds perfect. Right?
Doesn't that sound like what he'd do? Give up a good asset for a middling player?
And a bad asset? Yeah. Yeah, that does sound like what he would do.
Good Lord.
Oh, wait! He did it already. So the Blazers don't have any picks in the draft today. No first-round pick. That one went to Houston for Robert Covington. And then I looked. That they have no second-round picks either. There have been reports that they may buy into the second round. This is something I had no idea you could do. You can just purchase a pick from somebody.
Right. Well, especially, I think there are a couple teams that have like 6 picks total.
I didn't know you could literally just trade cash for a second round pick. So that's cool. They might do that.
That's the going rate in the NBA. I mean, it's not necessarily like if you give someone $3 million, they have to give you your pick. But invariably, someone is willing to move off a second round pick for a few million bucks. Yeah.
In relation to the last segment, though, talking about the report that they were offered a top 4 pick for CJ, you can debate it all you want. Do you want to see the Blazers trade into the first round this year? A trade into the first round, you know, if it's something like what Nemec was throwing out there, the Warriors don't have the 10th pick. They have the 7th and the 14th pick.
Right, yeah.
So if what Nemec is throwing out there is intriguing to you, he said last segment, if you missed it, trade CJ to the Warriors for Draymond and the 14th pick. I don't know if that value is what the Warriors would view it for CJ. Like, that might be too much for CJ in their mind. And also, this is just purely speculation, although Draymond has been tied to the Blazers since the middle of last year because it's something the Blazers need in defense and another ball handler.
I literally made it up. It was just in a vacuum. Yes. That makes more sense to me than saying they're going to get Ben Simmons or Bradley Beal for CJ. Yeah.
You know, if that is the trade getting them into the first round, I think that helps the team. But I think a lot of trades that would get the Blazers into the first round would be a sign of giving in a little bit to this team's not very good. right? Because if you're getting into the first round of the draft, you're picking a younger player who's not going to be ready right away, especially if you're not taking a top five pick, like we were talking about last segment. If you're getting the 14th pick, that player is not helping you right now. That player is helping you, hopefully helping you if you hit it, in 2 to 3 years. Like, wasn't Giannis the 14th or 15th pick? It took him a year or two to become helpful for the Bucks. He was raw, he had talent, but it took him a little while. Most of those guys at that level don't hit right away.
Right.
So if you trade into the first round, unless it's tied to other players coming to you, that would be a sign of we're resetting because Dame's leaving.
I think it's a really, really tough task for Neil Olshey. I really do. I don't feel for him often, and I think he needs to go. But in this way, I do. He's basically got 1 year to prove to Dame he can build a contender. They're up against it when it comes to the cap, so they don't have a lot of wiggle room that way to just sign a prized free agent. They are going to try to bring back Norman Powell and just run it back, it sounds like, with their starting lineup. If, and it kind of to me almost seems like Dame and CJ are so close that Dame's not, would not be thrilled with CJ leaving. And at that point, there's just not much left on the roster that's valuable enough to get you anything. When normally when you say, okay, you know what, this roster isn't a championship roster. We have some assets. They're not necessarily aging assets, CJ and Nurk, but they're getting older. They're not young prospects. Let's kind of flip these guys for some picks and maybe start to build. You don't have that luxury, because if you try to do that with Dame and he's looking around and he's got like a 19-year-old at center and a 20-year-old at shooting guard, he's going to be like, what are we doing here? Like, I wanted a championship team. Maybe this will be in 4 years. Cool. I'll be in my mid-30s. That doesn't work for me.
Well, he says, cool, I'll be somewhere else.
Right. I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, this isn't going to happen. So Neil Olshey somehow has to get this roster better without totally just trashing in the future. And Blazer fans would say, well, the future is Damian Lillard. It is Damian Lillard. And it's like, yes, I get that.
Sort of.
Dame can't do it himself. And you've got this whole rest of the roster that it almost seems like is pretty cemented, where it doesn't feel like you're hearing all these different, like, Covington could move, Nurk could move, CJ can. You don't hear any of that.
What did you hear? Olshey said
part of the reason
the
is
roster
none of
is
those
good
guys
enough.
None of those guys are good enough to bring back an asset that's really going to upgrade you in any way. And by the way, it looks, is it fair to say it looks kind of disastrous to have traded for Covington and given up 2 first-round picks? I don't even care that they'd be like high 20s or late teens, because the Blazers were out in the first round. I don't necessarily think Covington is the answer. And maybe if the backcourt were better defensively and he didn't have such a big load on defense that he wasn't allowed to shine maybe in a role that suits him best, he'd look a little better. But did Covington to you seem like a player that played he was worth 2 first-round picks last year? I know, again, mid to late first round picks in the NBA draft are not built the same as first round picks in football or baseball. It's not the same thing. It's not the same thing. You can't just say, well, he's worth a first round pick, so he should be an all-star. Not how it works. Most drafts throughout history, 6 to 8 players end up being pretty good, where you go, oh, that's a pretty good player. There are usually 3 or 4 players that are fringe all-star. There are usually 2 all-stars, and then on average, there's 1 Hall of Famer. Some years there's 3 when you get like a Bosch, LeBron, Carmelo. But most years there's on average 1. And I know that because Bill Simmons did this long podcast going over like 15 years of modern drafts and broke down like a 1-star player is a rotational player, a 2-star player is a off and on starter, and so forth. 5 is a franchise player, and broke it all down. So out of the first round, there's going to be 6 or 7 hits. And still, I don't necessarily think that Covington deal was worth it.
I do think the Covington deal was worth it. And it's partially in the situation that Neil Olshey was in, and with the way the Blazers team was set up, they really needed that type of player. Now, it's great to look back with 2020 hindsight and say Covington was a great off-ball defender, but he didn't hit offensively for half the season, and on-ball defense was above average, but not as good as we were expecting, especially when the other guy that the Blazers probably should have gone after was Jay Crowder, and he helped turn the Suns into a finals contender. But that is exactly what the Blazers needed, was a 3-and-D guy. It's easy to look back
now. I totally disagree with that.
And say it didn't work out.
I totally disagree with it. You're right, they needed a 3-and-D guy, but when you start needing pieces like that, that's because you're close. right? That's when you add pieces like that when you go, we're close. Let's leverage a little bit of the future because we're close. And I think Rop has been saying for 3 or 4 years, this team's not close. As long as Dame and CJ are together, they're not good enough defensively. It's not working. Collins isn't healthy. That's going to be a bust. Nurkic isn't tough enough. He's not consistent enough. And lately he's been hurt. I don't think it's fair to say he's just injury prone, but lately he's been hurt. I think the way when you start trading multiple first round picks for a piece, a guy you do not expect to ever even sniff an all-star game, is when you're close and you're adding that last piece that can give you a push. And I do think that's what the Blazers thought. I just think I don't need hindsight to look back and say that didn't make sense. The Blazers weren't close. We've seen too many years. It was fool's gold the year they made it to the Western Conference Finals. I like the Blazers. I love Damian Lillard. There are nights where I think CJ is the most entertaining watch in the NBA. Unfortunately, it's not often enough. Unfortunately, the Blazers aren't good enough. And I think the mistake that Neil Olshey has made time and time again is that he's looked to patch this roster through the bench, or just like, we're going to add one more starter and that's going to get us over the hump. It's like, bro, look at the league. Look at the Nets. Look at the Bucks. Do you honestly think there's any non-all-star the Blazers could add that would get them over the hump and they'd be a title contender? No, they're an all-star or two away. They just are. If you gave the Blazers right now today in a vacuum, you just gave them Draymond Green, just nothing for nothing. Draymond's on your team. Are they immediately a title contender?
No.
No.
But they're better.
Right. But like, that's my point, is Robert Covington's not even that.
Right. I think just the difference, the way we're looking at it, is just how you view the players and the team. You're way more on Rob's point of view where it's like they weren't close at all. I've been a little bit more bullish on them the last few years, although I was proven wrong this season.
Shame on you.
But did Robert Covington make them better? Yes, it did.
Okay.
He was a good player that helped them out.
But what does it get you? I think too often, and that's where I have a problem, not only with Neil Olshey, but the average Blazer fan, that as long as the Blazers make minor progress, Blazer fans are happy. It's like, man, we're better. And if Dame hits 9 threes in a night, we're going to win. And it's like, come on, man. It's more than
it's
that.
All temporary,
you need to be
though.
Good.
It's temporary for Blazer fans because this is the first time
they've been angry, and they should have been angry two or three other times.
Well, but every offseason, it's the temporary, like, ooh, they're better. And then you get into the season and you lose in the first round of the playoffs and the anger hits again. But you're right. It's getting, the patience has run out.
And the patience is
completely gone.
And what frustrates me is, like, it's the same thing to some extent in the Blazers' history of the draft. I'm sorry, Blazer fan. Right now, you just hate me. Because to me, it reminds me of when the Blazers keep doubling down. Olshey's doubling down. Well, the bench is the issue. We've got a great starting group. If we just add a couple pieces, if we just tinker, we're going to be great. You're further away than that. And you've done this 4 or 5 times. It's not working. You need to do something wildly different and still keep Dame happy, which is a tough needle to thread. But it reminds me, the same way that Neil just tinkers year in, year in, year in, is like how the Blazers got fooled taking Sam Bowie over Jordan, and then they do it again taking Greg Oden over Kevin Durant. It's like, don't be that guy again. Make the mistake the other way. Don't possibly make the mistake twice where you take the big center over the super athletic, high scoring guard, or, you know, wing player, ball handler. Don't do it twice, because you don't want to be the franchise that consistently does it. And now everybody goes, well, God, the Blazers skipped on the arguably two of the most gifted scorers in the history of the league, Michael Jordan and Kevin Durant. And both times they did it for broken down big men. Don't be the team that makes the same mistake multiple times where people finally start banging their head against the wall. And that's where I'm at. I'm at the point with the Blazers where I am banging my head against the wall. And again, I actually do feel bad for Olshey, because in this sense, I know he's put himself in this bind.
I mean, he's the one who did this to himself.
He has to thread the needle of somehow restructuring a roster that's pretty cemented in because of the contracts without blowing it up to get younger. He's got to blow it up and get better talent to keep Dame happy without really going all in on the future, or Dame will leave. It's a really, really, really tight window that he's got to get through. And I don't think he can, to be honest. And that's my point with this whole, that comes back to the whole point from the very beginning. Should the Blazers trade into this first round? I think based on where Dame's at right now, they can't afford to, unless a valuable veteran piece is coming back with whatever they give up.
I said this at the end of the offseason or at the end of the season, and I'm going to say it again. If the Blazers don't make major changes this offseason, it is a failure. I said that before. I will say it again. It's looking like they're not going to, so I'm already leaning towards this offseason being a failure. But you are right. It is a very tough needle to thread for Neil Olshey, but also he has no one but himself to blame. We got this text. It's funny. Oh, my God, I lost it. Oh, is there a lanky 7-foot-tall white kid who can be overhyped and ultimately be a racist or a bust? No? Then who does the GM bro pick? How about Gonzaga forward Corey Kispert? Huh?
No, he's going to Indiana.
Or Corey Kispert, sorry.
He has to go to Indiana.
He's 6'7". He's white.
Right.
Does that fit?
No, he automatically, the league has already frozen envelope the whole thing. He's going to Indiana. Oh, okay, that's okay. The rule. That's where he has to go.
He is projected around that 10, 15-ish range, though, so.
You know, the guy I really would love in a vacuum is Evan Mobley. We've seen what Dame can do with a big athletic guy to run the pick and roll through. He's perfect. He defends the rim. You just can't get there. There's just no way to get to three.
Coming up next, Twitter drama with Damian Lillard. And more Damian Lillard audio based on the person he was having drama with on Twitter. Juicy, juicy, juicy. Fun stuff. That's next. Primetime on The Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
Twitter drama between Damian Lillard and Henry Abbott of True Hoop. For some reason, I want to say, I think Henry Abbott's local or used to be from Portland.
We don't claim him.
No?
Nope.
Not after this?
Nope.
First.
Public enemy number one in Portland.
I would like to play the audio from today. There was a report yesterday from Henry Abbott of True Hoop that said Damian Lillard was willing to forego parts of his salary either to A, bring people into the Blazers, or B, go somewhere else and be more affordable.
And he is also the same reporter who said privately Damian Lillard demanded a trade, and then he addressed those in practice. That's the same guy.
Yes, so it is. So before the Twitter dust up, here was Dame being asked these questions from Tokyo in the Zoom press conference.
I literally have never said that. I've never said that. So I literally laughed about it when I saw it because I've literally never said that. I've been seeing a lot of things being said, and I've been as open about the situation as I could possibly be. And, you know, things have just continued to come out. Oh, Dame said, you know, he's 75-25 or something, and Dame is excited about this. Dame is going to, you know, give back money. Like, I've seen everything, and I have not said any of these things. I've spoken directly to my team, and if you ask them, they'll tell you exact, like, my team knows the truth, so I don't see what the point of people just saying that I said this and I said that, you know. Mm-hmm. I don't even know this guy, man. So
can I ask if you would do that?
If I would do what?
Actually give back money off of your current contract.
Why would I do that?
I don't know, but it was suggested, so I'm just asking.
No.
That's it. That's the clip. That's now, what, two or three times that in Tokyo, or at least in the Olympic practice press conferences, Dame has had to say, I haven't said any of these things. There have been a ton of reports about it, for sure. Chris Haynes has had stuff, which we all assume is from Dame, but even Dame has said at times that what Chris Haynes has is not from him. You know, you can take that with a grain of salt, but I think we all know that him and Chris Haynes are friends, really good friends, and they were when they were here together. So I don't know if I believe that fully. But Dame has come out and said over and over and over again, I haven't demanded a trade. All the stuff that's out there isn't true. I just haven't decided what I'm going to do yet. He keeps refuting it. So who is the best source but Damian Lillard himself? Do you think he would be lying about that?
I don't think two things. I don't think Dame is lying about it. Also, sometimes players privately say, I have this listed. They don't all go the Aaron Rodgers route, right? Privately, they say, or the Russell Wilson route this offseason football. I have this list of demands, or I have these things I need, or I'm going to leave. And if you don't do them, I will not play for you anymore, even if I have to sit out. That happens sometimes. But publicly, they don't do that because it hurts the value. They respect the franchise they're with enough not to say, hey, I publicly demand a trade, so that everybody then can lowball the offer, right? Unless it starts a bidding war. So I don't think Dame did that in this case. But I've seen cases where privately athletes behind closed doors demanded something and then publicly said it wasn't true. I've had, just in recruiting, covering recruiting,
well, of course,
I've had recruits tell me things and then publicly say something totally different about their top five list when they're considering three schools that are not even on their top five.
I mean, not saying that doesn't happen.
Right.
I'm asking specifically with Damian Lillard, based on who you know, or based on what you know about him as a person, do you think Damian Lillard would be lying about this in front of everybody?
I haven't seen a time in all the time I've followed Damian Lillard that he hasn't been honest about his intentions. He's never once said he was going to.
That's my point.
He's never once said something that he, you know, I'm going to do this, and then he didn't do it. It's a small thing, but like All-Star Weekend, he's like, I'm going to compete in every event. It would have been easy for him to like, I'm not actually going to do that. That's too much. He did it. Every time it's come up where he's been put in a spot to claim something or not claim something that's reported, he tends to fall on the side that ends up being truthful. So why would I say he's wrong now, especially for Henry Abbott? And no disrespect to Henry Abbott, who I'm sure is a nice man or something, but we're swinging and missing here as a reporter. And part of it too is like, listen, your sourcing can even be real close to Damian Lillard. But once an athlete publicly says you're full of it, you don't have to out your sources. You don't. But you either have to come back with, like, listen, dude, you can say whatever you want publicly. Maybe you don't want this aired out privately, but I know you've said this. But if you're doing the whole my sources are right and you're wrong, Dame, which is kind of how he handled it on Twitter, you're lying, because the best source for a story like that is the player themselves.
Here's what he said on Twitter. Henry Abbott, who names their site True Hoop? My whole career is about the truth. Of course, I've never published a made-up story and never will. If you think somebody is lying about this at Dame Lillard situation, he added him, look elsewhere. Dame quote tweeted it. Dame is not afraid to go at it with people on Twitter. He's a big social media guy. He says, now ask yourself that same question about me. I've been transparent for a decade. I never denied where I stood following the season. Don't loop me in because of the state of the game right now. What you're reporting is simply not the facts, bro. I'm the ultimate source. That
bro.
Is literally true. Henry Abbott responds.
See, this is where it needs to be done.
That should have been it, right?
Yeah.
Henry Abbott responds, for sure. Appreciate that and you. But realize, : I work in a profession where my reputation is as important to my livelihood as health is to an NBA player. Please be very careful about calling me a liar. I take my job very seriously and do not lie. The final thing that I saw from this, I don't know if anything else has happened, Dame just quote tweeted and said, please be careful? ? Like, was that a threat, Henry Abbott? Please be careful about calling me a liar. I do not lie.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't
think he meant it like that. I just think he meant like, my career is truth telling, or this is what he's trying to say, as a reporter, you're only as good as how much people believe you. And so when you call me a liar publicly, it really hurts my brand, so be careful throwing that out there. But it's like, okay, but
the way you typed it sounds like a threat.
And not only that, I'm telling you, like, go back to your sources.
Right.
Go.
I like how he said,
check again.
I respect that, Dame, but I don't lie. And it's like, but he's literally the guy you're talking about.
Well, what he probably means by that.
Oh, are you defending
him? No, he's wrong. What people will do, and this is the hill that reporters die on when they look stupid in the end. When your report about sources, I have sources close to the situation that say, once the direct person says your sources are wrong, not all sources are created equal. So Henry Abbott's sources aren't plugged in enough to be right on this. They may be speculated, and they've been right about other things, but they are wrong about this. So Henry Abbott's saying, I'm not lying. I do have sources that say that. And Dame's like, don't care. Your sources are wrong. And so instead of, Henry Abbott being like, I listened to the wrong people. My bad. Let me go back to sourcing since you're the prime source. Obviously, the people I was talking to aren't as plugged in as I thought. My bad. Then it's dead, right? Then it's over. Instead, he's like, don't call me a liar. I do have sources. And it's like, right, but your sources are wrong. So what does it matter? Like, okay, I have a source that says this. It's my neighbor. He doesn't know anything or anybody, but he said it. So that's a source. That's the problem that reporters get into time and time again when they get in fights with athletes that I've seen. They'll have a source they trust. The athlete will refute it publicly. And sometimes, rightly so, and sometimes they're lying to cover their own ass, right? But in this case, I think Dame's saying, your sources are just wrong. And Henry Abbott will not move on from his sources, which is a problem. And frankly, once you start telling athletes, like, be careful about how you what you say to me, you've just blown it as a professional. You've blown it.
You've jumped the shark completely.
I've blown it a couple times on social media in my interactions with people. There's things I wish I could take back. I guarantee you Henry Abbott wishes he could take the exchange back. Even if he say, I wish I would have tweeted him still, I guarantee you he didn't mean the way it reads, and it looks, it's a bad look for him. It's a really bad look for him.
All right, we got hour two coming up next. If you missed any of this first hour, we'll post it on the Les Schwab Tires podcast. Download it on the Odyssey app or go to 1080thefan.com. In the news, coming up at 4:30, got some trade deadline talk as well, but I want to begin, and Nemec, I'm very curious about your thoughts on this. The Big 12 drama of the last week and a half has been fascinating. I don't think any show on the station has done more on it than Primetime has, because Rob finds it to be the most interesting thing that's happened in sports in like 3 years. There's more news about that, and I'm curious what your thoughts are on it, as well as the idea of, should the Big 12 stop trying to save themselves as a conference and try to save themselves in a different way? That's next. This is Primetime with Lynch and Nemec today on The Fan.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.